It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Marcellus Shale production is up, way up. Bentec, a Colorado company that analyzes energy trends, says 2013 production in Pennsylvania and West Virginia is up about 50% compared with last year. Figures for the pipelines that take gas out of the Marcellus show that in the first 6 months of the year, Pennsylvania produced about 1.5 trillion cubic feet of gas, with projections for a year-end total of about 3.2 trillion cubic feet. That yearly number translates into the equivalent of about 550 million barrels of oil. I'm joined now by phone by Nick Nanos, president and CEO of Nanos Research and public policy scholar with the Wilson Center in Washington, D.C. Nick Nanos, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
It's great to join you.
So why is shale gas production way up?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where when we look from an exploration and development point of view, it seems as if the focus has been on higher quality drills or wells that can yield a greater value. And I think a lot of this has to do with the price of natural gas. The price of natural gas remains low, significantly lower than it did in 2008. And as a result, there's been a focus on opportunities that can kind of yield greater results. That means we have to be a little careful. We should be optimistic about the new production estimates, but we should be careful just because of what I'll say the scope of the research that's driving this.
So there are pros and cons to this high production.
Well, absolutely. You know, on the positive side of the ledger, this is kind of another data point to validate how much is likely there. On the downside, you know, one of the big challenges relates to price, right? Right now, the price of natural gas, at least as of yesterday, was at around $3.32 a million metric BTU compared to $13 in 2008. So the thing is that if there's a narrative that there is more supply out there in terms of natural gas, that means that the price of natural gas will be low and there will not be as much of an incentive to develop it. So the good news is yes, it's there, and the numbers are firming up on that front. The bad news is that the price of natural gas will likely still be lower. That's good for consumers in the short term, but that's not necessarily good in terms of development of the resource in the long term.
So what would that mean? Would there be a cutback on the drilling?
Yeah, well, the thing is that there'd be a cutback on the drilling and also decisions made in terms of where the drilling is made in order to make it more economically viable. The other potential drawback, and there hasn't been a lot of discussion about this, is the infrastructure that's needed to deliver this resource to market. If the price of natural gas remains low, there's unlikely to be the type of infrastructure investments that are needed in order for Americans to take advantage of what I'll say the shale gas revolution. We might, you know, there might be the potential for a revolution, but if it can't be delivered to market because the price of gas is low, then it might be more of an evolution than a revolution.
And of course, one of the big proponents or the thing that we hear proponents say about shale gas production is that it creates jobs. So how would that impact the jobs picture?
Well, it could potentially not create the same level of jobs as hoped because of the price and also the infrastructure. You know, the other kind of wild card in this whole equation is Mexico and Canada in terms of energy. You know, many people don't know that Mexico is the fourth largest shale gas reserves in the world. Just this week, the president of Mexico has introduced changes or proposed changes to Parliament that would attract American investment in order to develop shale gas. So, you know, when we're talking about Pennsylvania, for example, you know, we should be confident, but you should be starting to look over your shoulder because the thing is that the Mexicans really want to develop their shale gas resources. That will be an extra competitor for what I'll say the resources that are already in the United States in terms of the market and the supply. So we might be getting to a situation where there could be an oversupply of natural gas and competitors to Marcellus that aren't necessarily there right now.
Well, there is the as part of the good news that you mentioned, this confirmation about the numbers, because there were those within the shale gas industry who were accused of exaggerating the numbers. of saying that, you know, there's all of this this gas that can be produced, that the production has now been increased by 50%, and we now have 1.5 trillion cubic feet of gas. There are predictions for a year-end total of 3.2 trillion. So do those figures put that debate to rest?
No, it doesn't put the debate to rest at all. You know, as part of the research that I did at the Wilson Center in Washington, a lot of it focused on the projections and how reliable they were. And, you know, the thing is, it's pretty clear that when you get beyond the surface, that there is a range of how much natural gas is likely there. And the debate is over how much will actually be recovered and developed. I think in this particular case, this is positive news in terms of validating that there could be more than expected, but it's still very early because, you know, in the past, there are estimates that have occurred that have not been realized or that have been kind of disproven as more test wells are taken. So I think they should be hopeful and optimistic, but not confident. And, you know, the thing is, they also, I think what's more of an issue is what will likely come on board in terms of capacity from Mexico as it looks to develop its shale gas reserves.
We're talking with public policy scholar Nick Nanos about the increased production in Pennsylvania of gas from Marcellus Shale. It has increased by 50% compared with last year. With high production yields, Nick, is there a possibility of the resource being depleted?
Well, you know, the thing is that any resource is finite. I think in terms of the resource being depleted in the short term, that's not likely. You know, it's pretty clear that there is a significant reserves in Marcellus and in other parts of the United States. The question is how much. The problem is that, you know, think of it this way, you know, when as the Obama administration looks at the energy mix and the role of coal and natural gas and how we're going to power our energy power plants, it's basically making bets, you know, when it looks at potentially converting coal to natural gas in terms of will there be enough there to kind of switch over from coal to natural gas. And right now, the bets, because of the projections that are out there and the positive news that we received today, are more likely to tilt in favor of natural gas. But, you know, the reality is that we probably won't know for a number of years in terms of how much is there, because the way it kind of works is there are things, it's kind of like wine. There's old vintages and new vintages when we're looking at a lot of these tests. When we look at old vintages, they know how much natural gas is there. But a lot of these vintages are newer. And as a result, there's pretty a wide variance in terms of how much might be there. So this is positive in terms of the short term, but this is definitely not the final word in terms of how much of a resource Marcellus Shale gas will yield.
Well, we know from past speeches and in his State of the Union address, for example, that President Obama is very much in favor of Marcellus Shale drilling. And that he feels, in fact, this may be the way to meet our energy needs in the future. So as we look at how this impacts the overall energy picture, for example, there's the debate going on about the Keystone Pipeline. Where does that leave oil? And if we don't need as much oil, do we need the pipeline to bring it in from Canada?
Yeah, well, you know, in the study that we did with the Wilson Center, it's pretty clear that, you know, when we survey Americans on all of the different kind of potential energy sources, that natural gas does actually quite well. You know, about I think it's about 84% of Americans would support or somewhat support continued or more use of natural gas. You know, compared
to. Do we know why that is?
Well, I think it's one of the things where, you know, when we look at shale gas, it's one of the few positive news items in what I'll say the U.S. mindset right now. You know, in the past, the U.S. frame was always, we're dependent on oil and energy from other places, whether it's the Middle East or Canada or Mexico. Shale gas has kind of turned that around 180 degrees in terms of America being more self-sufficient, not necessarily independent, but more self-sufficient. And it's been positive news. The question has been, how much is there? How can it be recovered in an environmentally responsible manner? And can it be viable from a business perspective? I think in terms of the pipelines, what Canadians have to watch out for is, you know, if natural gas turns out to be as promising as many hope, that it will make Canada will still be an important energy partner, but it won't be as important in the as compared to the past, because many of those needs could be dealt with or managed internally in the United States.
Well, and of course, there's a raging debate about Marcellus shale in the United States in terms of whether it is actually as safe and clean as the proponents of it say it is. And we've seen documentaries like Gasland 2, for example, making the argument against shale gas. On the other hand, though, you have, when it comes to things like the Keystone Pipeline, the oil coming from Canada is tar sands oil from Alberta, which is not the cleanest burning form of fuel. So does that tilt the debate toward gas simply because a lot of people are fighting the pipeline based on the cleanliness of the oil coming from Canada?
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing is, yes, it does tilt it towards gas to a certain extent, but what we have to remember is that Americans first are consumers. And what the polling clearly shows is that Americans overwhelmingly want a stable supply of energy, and they also want to have the lowest energy prices possible. And, you know, one of the key learnings from the study that I did for the Wilson Center in Washington was that perhaps we should be looking at the government encouraging competition between a variety of sources, including renewables, even coal and natural gas, and allowing them to compete in the marketplace, both environmentally, technologically, but also from a price perspective, in order to minimize the risks related to the uncertainties that we talked about in terms of how much of those resources are actually there. And I think that's probably the best path forward. And I think for average Americans, what they want, cheap, stable supply of energy that falls within a reasonable environmental envelope. And I think that should be the prime focus for all of the different interests at the table.
Nick Nanos is president and CEO of Nanos Research and public policy scholar with the Wilson Center in Washington. Nick Nanos, thanks for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
It was my pleasure. Have a great day.
Coming up, we'll learn how immigrants are making Pittsburgh more innovative. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.